Good afternoon. I will present a paper on social protection for the elderly as a development strategy, a case of Kenya's old persons cash transfer program. My name is Philomena Makena. I did this paper with my sister Elsie Kangai. She's an economist. I am a student of public policy at master's level. Thank you. Now, generally, just for those new in social protection, it's all about the initiatives by the public and private to try and transfer income and consumption to the poor, and of course, more so to the vulnerable, against livelihood risk. And the kind of interventions we see in social protection are pensions, allowances, family allowances, their in-child allowances, food cash or cash for work schemes within the categories of social insurance, social assistance, and social transfers. My case is a case of social transfers. Now, social protection interventions, we need to start thinking of social protection interventions within making them more protective, preventive, and promotive, and to move, to upscale them to be more transformative. And Kenya is working within these international declarations and treaties. That's the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Vienna International Plan of Action, UN Principles of Older Persons Aging, UN Proclamation of Aging, and the Madrid International Plan of Action on Aging, and our own, the Livingston Declaration of 2006. Most of the countries in Africa have programmed within this international debate. Now, social protection is claimed to contribute to the attainment of Millennium Development Goals on poverty and hunger, on gender equality, on reducing child mortality, on combating HIV and AIDS, malaria, and other diseases, and developing global partnerships, of course, in terms of regional donor aid sometimes and the programs. Now, most of my colleagues have covered the regional social protection measures, which I will not really get into so much. Janet has talked about the move by industrialized nations more than 50 years ago, and most of us have started cash transfer programs in Africa for the last two decades, benchmarking from what's been done before in developing nations. And that's why large cash transfer schemes like South Africa, Lesotho, Zambia, Malawi, and the others have sprung up from. Now, there's been a lot of policy development in the area of social protection recently, and this data here is a recent study by LPG International as at May this year, where we're seeing African countries moving to policy formulation around social protection and issues to do with aging. Now, our Kenyan case, in 2009, we developed the national policy on older persons and aging. And within this, this has moved higher. In 2011, there was a national social protection policy, which was passed by Parliament in July this year. And we happen to have a recent constitution as of 2010, which has taken a lot of concerns on social protection and more so to do with issues to do with aging. And within our development planning, our vision, Kenya's Vision 2030, within the development planning, social protection is an issue that Kenya is taking seriously. Now, why are we doing social protection, and why are we talking about social protection in Kenya currently? It's of course because of the rapid global increase of persons who are aging. HelpAge International estimates, but in a few years from today, 2020, 1 billion of the people of the world will be above 60 years of age. And out of these 1 billion, 700 million will be in Africa. Now, World Bank worrying age dependency ratios, you can see them there. These age dependency ratios is people below 14 years of age and people below 65 years of age, depending on the persons between 15 and 64 years. Zimbabwe is at 74%, Kenya 82%, Mozambique 90%, and you can see where Singapore is, and the USA and South Africa at least is at 53%. Now, the Kenya 2009 population and housing census, we were, as at then, that 8.6 million. Out of our population, 1.3% were above 65 years of age. But look at the people between 15 and 64 years. That's a population of about 20.6 million. Now, there are globalization issues that are of concern. Of course, rapid urbanization, migration, leaving the rural populace who are aging, and of course these people are in charge of our agriculture economy. And of course there are issues of concern in Kenya, which is the HIV prevalence, and that's why I thought maybe showcasing Kenya's case and the progressive way we've been doing social protection is something that can help futuristic thinking on how then we do social protection, moving away from poverty reduction to more transformative thinking. Think about this population, think about the numbers there. Now, the Kenya cash transfers to the elderly started in 2004, and this was informed by past state-led cash transfer programs, Orphans and Vulnerable Children Program, and the Anger Safety Net programs. Those were earlier social protection programs in Kenya. Now, there's been a lot of policy support, political support, financial, and of course institutional support through planning, policy, and the government bodies that are delivering cash transfers for the elderly in Kenya. The targeting criteria, of course, these data, that the numbers that were used have been used for cash transfers in Kenya is based on the national poverty data. As a 2005-2006 Kenya Integrated Household Survey data, and HIV and AIDS prevalence data, where the program currently in Kenya covers 44 districts out of the 70 districts in Kenya, and it's using, of course, further over and above the national poverty data and the HIV prevalence data, it's community-based targeting and using proxy means as well. There exists an exit criteria, which as at today, none of the beneficiaries have exited from the program. Of course, those are concerns that the ministry is looking at, because one of the objectives is to try and accumulate wealth within the beneficiary group, which I think is a weakness that Kenya wants to start looking. How then do, when people accumulate wealth, do we exit them from the program so that we take on more? And the approach in implementation is looks at sensitization, how is it done, and the local committee formations, and is a strong interministerial linkages, and that's why we get complementary services for the old people where the cash transfer is working. Of course, within the about 44,000 beneficiaries of the program. Now, I wanted to show this just to show how the financing and the implementation trend has been between 2006 and 2013. Starting off with a very small amount there, that is Kenya shillings, and we are currently, you can see, started from 4 million Kenya shillings in 2006, and as a 2011-2012 budget, it was given 1 billion, that's around 11.9 million US dollars, and the current budget has put aside 1.5 billion for cash transfers for the old persons. And this is the only social protection program in Kenya that is completely funded by from the national kitty. Then, what are the issues around the Kenya's cash transfer program sustainability based on current success factors? Of course, it's been funded from recurrent budgetary allocations, but there are issues to do with how the population trend is moving. And of course, what this study proposes, we have to do then intergenerational planning to target groups like the youth and upscale current beneficiaries to reach at least most poor households. then institutional frameworks through policies, the Constitution and the Vision 2030 Development Blueprint has been a strong support for the cash transfers program in Kenya. And there's been a lot of operational capability of the government bureaucratic structures, of course, for delivery purposes, which has worked well. There's been stronger linkages to complementary services like health, markets, and which has been cascaded from national to lower levels. And now the issue is, how do we then encourage and promote asset accumulation, which is one of the objectives of the cash transfer program? The challenges there, which are common challenges with most of these kind of programs, we have a population of 1.3 persons who are old. Among this population, the absolute poor, as of the recent study by UNICEF and the Ministry of Gender and Social Development in Kenya of 2012, out of this population, 53% absolute poor. The hardcore poor are 25%. That gives us around 78% plus of the people who are poor among the old persons in Kenya. Now, the beneficiaries of the old persons cash transfer program is only 2.5% of the old persons in Kenya. Then, of course, there are issues there now to do with vulnerability and how much is the program then taken care of. Now, formal social protection programs, that's fine. Formal social protection programs in Kenya has been only limited to 5.3% of the population. Of course, the NSSF, which is the National Social Security Fund, and the National Hospital Fund, only takes care of this 5.3%. What happens to the 95% or so? The operational challenges to do with the treasury, with delayed disbursements, where you get people are being given by monthly payments, but after how many months? Sometimes 4 months. But the ministry is now looking, how do we deal with treasury? They've proposed to ring-fence the social grants, like they ring-fence salaries for civil servants. And now the question is, how do you address ideological concerns of free handouts and creating dependency on the beneficiaries? And we propose that use of a proportion of the budgetary allocation, which is small, in establishing alternative social protection vehicles. Now, the new thinking for Vision 2030 and after is issues of sustainability. Of course, how do you think about social protection within the political economy dynamism, the national economic performance, because it has to be supported by a very strong, well-developing economy and the policy institutions. Then comprehensive approaches on social protection, which my colleagues have mentioned, how do you then include the informal sector into these? Like it's happening with the insurance schemes. What do you do with the youth who will be, the number about 20 million, who will in 20 years time they'll be within this group of old age? Then how do we nurture then social protection efforts among younger generations through targeted programs? And then how do we then move from poverty alleviation to transformative social protection policies? How do we move from conventional safety nets to social livelihood transformations? And in conclusion, we say that social protection, of course, is contributing to poverty reduction. And the continued social protection has been pegged on good performance of national economies. But we have to cushion beneficiaries by inculcating elements of transformative social transfers. I advocate the asset accumulation issue, and how do we then transform them from within their livelihoods to make their social welfare better off? Then you have to address challenges in design and implementation of our social protection and cash transfer programs in a manner that minimizes possible dependency and other desired outcomes. Then there's need for evidence-based policy dialogue and research, continuously collect and collate data on impact of existing programs. This was a challenge in Kenya. It's a bit difficult, and there's been a lot of interest on non-state actors who are in social protection, and the information coming out research is not strong enough. Recommendations. The study recommends holistic design of social protection measures for older persons. Then activities towards graduating from extreme poverty and eventual exit from the program need to be scaled up to minimize overdependence. And of course, continuously build a repository of programs, performance, and welfare indicators, which I've discussed earlier. And that's it for Kenya. Thank you.
Thank you.